Welcome to this presentation from the Downey Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are located in the greater Los Angeles area at 9820 Lakewood Boulevard in Downey, California. We would love to have you worship with us any Saturday you are in our area.
Thank you, Chris, for sharing your pulpit with me this morning. I had a sermon that I wanted to preach on post-Thanksgiving, but I'm going to be like a woman. I'm going to change my mind. Is that okay? I'm going to change my mind because, man, last night when I was thinking about the sermon and putting the final touches, I thought, and I went to bed and I dreamt about another sermon. So I want to preach a sermon that I dreamt about. Is that okay? And if you don't like it, well, I'll come back and preach the one I'm supposed to preach today. When I was growing up in Hawaii, one of the things that we loved was persimmons. And when I moved back to California, after I pastored in Hawaii, I planted two persimmon trees. Little did I know that persimmons can grow so much and give so much fruit. So we brought some this morning. And if it's a soft persimmon, it's not the crispy ones, it's the soft ones. And there are many ways of using it. Some were asking me, what is it? How do you use it? You know, what I like to do is I like to eat them. My wife makes a terrific persimmon cookie. My mom makes persimmon bread. And I just like to eat them plain. My wife, puree, what do you call that when you blend it up? Puree, thank you. And she did it, and we can put it over pancakes and waffles, and you can eat it over granola. So that's what I had this week. I just like to eat it. I like to leave it out when it's soft. I just like to eat it just plain. Or you can put them in a freezer and eat it like ice cream when it defrosts a little. So you can choose what you want. And if you guys take it all today, I'll send some more next week with Chris. Is that okay? Because we've got a lot, man. We've got to get rid of them. Thank you again for sharing the pulpit with me. Let's pray. Loving Lord, as we open the scriptures and as we talk about you, we pray that you may influence our heart. We pray that you may give us the strength to make decisions in the right direction is our prayer in your precious and loving name. Amen. One thing that I always did when I was pastoring, when I was in a conference office, is I always had office hours. Every day if I was in town, I would be in my office. And I had a policy. My office was always open door. You can come in anytime. You can come in anytime. You can talk. You can bring me stuff. We can eat together. We can eat lunch together. Anytime I'm in the office, please come and see me. One morning, about Thanksgiving time, was about the same season as this. I was sitting in my office and my secretary says, hey, you got a couple. They want to see you. I said, please send them in. So I welcomed them in my office and a couple from the church came and sat in front of me. And the lady looked at me and she says, Pastor, I'm so excited. We have a dilemma that we want you to solve. And I said, oh, no problem. Let's talk about it. What's your dilemma? And I could see that the woman was very, very excited. She was so excited. She was just bubbling over. She was smiling and she was just jubilant. Her face was red and she could hardly stand sitting down. Her husband was sitting there very sheepish. And he looked at me and he was very shy. And I said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. You got one that is really excited and one that is very sheepish. So I looked at it. I said, uh-oh, what am I in for? So I looked at him. I said, well, what brings you to my office? And the lady looked at me and she said, Pastor, I want you to convince my husband. He is so stubborn. You women feel that way sometimes? My husband is so stubborn, he never listens to me. He always wants his own way. Now, men, you know how women are. They always come to conclusions that we don't agree on. But she said, my husband is just bullheaded, and I want you to convince him this morning. I need some help. And the husband was there, and he was folding his hands, and he was twisting it, and he was looking at me, and he says, Pastor, you've got to not take sides, but give me your judgment. And I looked at him, I said, oh, what's your problem? And she says, Pastor, you know that we have a daughter, and she's 4 years old right now. And my daughter and our daughter has a mentality as she's handicapped physically and mentally, and she has a mental capacity of a one-year-old and a physical capacity of a one-year-old. And she's just like a baby, and she can't eat, she can't talk, she can't do anything. We have to treat her like a baby. She's already four. And I looked at him, I says, oh boy, am I in for it now? Oops. And then the lady looked at me, she said, Pastor, my next door neighbor told me about this lady. She came to Los Angeles, and she has the power. She has the power of healing. And my neighbor has the same problem. She has a baby, same as me, and the baby was handicapped. And the lady laid her hands on this baby, and the baby was healed. And she says, I want to take our little baby, and I want to take the babe, my baby, and I want to take my baby to this lady and have this lady lay her hands on him. But please convince my husband. He says, no, he's very suspicious that it might not be true. It may not be from God. What are we going to do? And the husband looked at me and says, Pastor, I read in Revelation 16, verse 14, that the devil can do miracles. And he says, I don't want the devil to do a miracle in my life, in my daughter's life. I want only Jesus to be there. And the wife looked at me, she says, but Pastor, only God brings good miracles. And if it's truly from God, a miracle will happen. What are we going to do? And I looked at the couple. I could see the wife wanted this so bad. And you know, when you have a little baby and a baby's handicapped, you want the baby to be whole again. And so she says, please convince my husband. We have nothing to lose. All we can do is take the baby. We take the baby to this lady. And if it's from God, and we can pray before we take the baby there. And if it's from God, the baby will be healed. And if it's not from God, the baby will not be healed. Is that a good thing, Pastor? And I looked at her and I said, boy, I don't know what to do. And I shot up her up into heaven. I said, oh God, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? And then text came to my mind. And if you were me and you were sitting there, how many of you would say to this couple, you got nothing to lose. Take the baby and have the baby try to be healed. How many would say that? Take the baby. You got nothing to lose. You got nothing to lose, really. How many would say, don't take the baby. It's too much of a risk. How many would say that? How many don't know? Yeah. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. And I looked at the couple and I says, man, what do I say? I mean, Then some texts came into my mind. Four texts came to my mind. Two in the Old Testament and two from the New Testament. Tests of a prophet. Tests of a true person to see if they're from God or not. And I want to share those four texts with you this morning. Two from the Old Testament and two from the New Testament. And I looked at this couple and I said, I'm going to give you four texts. And you can apply these four texts to this individual. And if the individual passed this four texts, then you know it's truly from God. And by all means, take the baby there. And so I pulled up my Bible from my desk and I says, hey, I want to give you four texts. And if you brought your Bibles this morning, I want you to open them up with me. And you know, sometimes we take our Bibles and we don't read them, but we've got to make sure that this is our shield with the devil. We want to make sure that God gave us this word so that we can be drawn closer to him and God will give us the strength. So the first text that came to my mind is found in Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, the Old Testament, book of Isaiah chapter 8. And I told him, I said, this is the first text. And it's Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Let me read it to you. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to the word, it is because there is no light in them. In other words, it's saying, if a person speaks according to the Bible, the word of God, then you know they're true. Correct? Isn't that correct? But then you might say, well, Pastor, I'm a new Christian. Or, Pastor, I don't read so well. I can't read the whole Bible. I don't know what the Bible says all the way through. So how do I test them? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to the word, there is no light in them. Well, Pastor, how do I know? Because I haven't read the Bible through. Isn't it true? I don't know about the Bible. I don't know from Genesis to Revelation. I've read only certain parts of the Bible, so how do I make the decision? There are two things in a person's life that the devil will never compromise in. He may compromise one or the other, but never the two things. And my favorite book, one of my favorite books, Great Controversy, on the chapter Impending Crisis, it tells us that the devil will never compromise two doctrines of the Bible. And you know what those two doctrines are? One, the devil will not compromise, is the state of the dead. The Bible says when you die, you sleep and you wait for the resurrection. The devil has brought to us that when you die, you go to heaven or you go to hell. Isn't that correct? It's just the opposite of what the Bible teaches. So there's one thing that the devil presented to the world, and he does not compromise on that. So that's one point. And the second point the devil does not compromise on is the Sabbath truth. Did you know that? Two things, immortality of the soul and the Sabbath. The devil will not compromise in these two things. That is his two key things that he has distorted in this world. Unfortunately, the majority of the people today worship on what day? Sunday. The devil has really won a battle in this world. And so we got to be very careful. So these are the two things. If they speak not according to the word of God, that means it is not good. Isn't that correct? The second text I gave them, and I said, the second text I want to share with you is found in Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is a hard books in the Old Testament, just after Isaiah. Jeremiah, and I said, this is another text that the devil will not compromise with. And it's found in Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 9. And this is what it says. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then you shall know that a prophet is what? Is truly from God. When a prophet prophesieth the truth, you know it's from God. Now, we have been told that the devil can prophesy up to 80% of the future. Did you know that? The devil can prophesy, or the devil can guess 80% of the future, but he cannot present 100% of the future. And this is where God says the true person of God will prophesy 100%. You know why? Because my God doesn't make a mistake. Is that correct? My God is a God of wisdom, my God who knows the future. He knows the beginning from the end, and God knows what's going on, so he never makes a mistake. We had a prophet who lived in our church, and her name was Ellen White. And she was a prophet of God, and she was tested many, many times. And one of the greatest texts, or one of the greatest tests that she ever went through was she had a little vision. And there was a great evangelist coming to town, and a great evangelist was preaching. And she was shown in a vision that during the sermon, she should go up and she should reprimand this preacher. And she should tell the preacher something. And she fought and she fought and she fought. And she says, what am I going to do? And the angel of the Lord came to Ellen White, and she says, the angel told Ellen White, when the person is preaching, you've got to reprimand him and say he should not be in the pulpit. So the preacher started preaching. And all of a sudden, Ellen White said she was urged by the angel of the Lord again to go up and talk and speak to this man. And so she went up and she walked down the aisle and she just put out her finger. She says, Elder so-and-so, the Lord has shown me that you should not be in the pulpit preaching. And she sat down. And all the people in the audience, and there were a lot of people, were shocked that Ellen White would say this. But remember, God never makes a mistake. God knows the future. God knows what's going on. So God told Ellen White to say that. And as this man looked at Ellen White, he picked up his Bible and he just took off from the side room. And then the brother of the man came up and he says, truly, truly, the Lord has spoken. The Lord has spoken. My brother is living a life of sin. He has a wife in this town and a wife in another town. So God did not make a mistake. God knew exactly what is going on. So God urged or told Ellen White to say this to this individual. And she did, because God never makes a mistake. And so she just told this individual. So God never makes a mistake. God knows the future. When a prophet prophesieth, then you know that it is truly from God. So we've got two texts in the Old Testament. What's the first text? Isaiah 8:20. And the second text, Jeremiah. Okay, now let's flip over to the New Testament. The New Testament. The next text is found in Matthew. The first book of the New Testament. Okay, you got it? Matthew? Let's go to chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Okay, I'll give you a little time. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 7. I'm sorry, not chapter 8. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. This is the third test. And it says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By the life they live, ye shall know them. And my God says, hey, whenever I choose a person to represent me, I want to make sure that they are consistent with my teachings. You've got to be consistent. When a man of God is called by God, or a woman of God is called by God, they want to be consistent in their teaching. You want to make sure that they are consistent. By their lives, you can see that they're consistent. My wife and I took a trip 2 weeks ago to Peoria. And we stayed in a motel and visited her folks. And I said to myself, man, it'll be good to get away from town where nobody knows me. Isn't that good? You can go, you can relax. Nobody knows you. You can just do what you want to do, eat what you want to eat, and do anything you want. My wife and Lisa went shopping one day, and I said, well, I'll stay in my room. I'll stay in the room, and I'll study for the sermon this week. And so I stayed back, and they went shopping. And the room service came. And so they said, oh, we're ready to clean your room. I said, oh, great. So I went downstairs. And I went downstairs in the lobby to study. And of course, this hotel was a great hotel. They had a big case of cookies there. And so I took a cookie and I started studying in the lobby. And all of a sudden, a man came up to me. And he says, are you Bob Wong? And I looked at him. I says, yeah. And I says, oh, no, what did I do? Did I take too many cookies? Is he going to reprimand me now? And so he says, are you Bob Wong? I says, yep. I said, oh, my. And he says, I remember you from L.A. I said, oh, really? He says, you're the Pathfinder director. And he says, I was a Pathfinder. And I want to thank you for being an example to me. Just imagine if I sat in a lobby smoking a cigarette and drinking a bottle of beer, and this person came by, and he actually worked in a hotel. He was a maintenance man in a hotel. What would have happened with my influence on this individual if I did that? It would have been blown. So that's why I got to watch where I drink and where I smoke, because I can't do that in public because you don't know who's watching you. But he came up and he says, thank you for being such a wonderful individual. And I said, well, you're very welcome. We talked and we had a nice chat. And we talked about the old times when he was a Pathfinder, et cetera, et cetera. The next day, I was walking in a lobby again, and I went up to the cookie jar, and I swiped another cookie. And I was eating it, and the hostess in the front desk says, hey, Bob, you're Bob Wong? I says, yep. I says, oh, no, another cookie, you know. And so I says, yep. And so she says, oh, here. And she gave me an envelope. And in the envelope, it says, thank you, Pastor, for being an example to me. Here's a gift certificate for supper for you and your family. Wasn't that great? But just imagine if I blew it, if I didn't live a consistent life. So God says, hey, you've got to live a consistent life when you work for me. And that's great. You never know when people are going to recognize you or see you. Another short story. One of my hobbies, like I told you once before, I work with Glendale Police, and we're at the Twin Towers Jail. You know, they have two towers of jail. Have you been there? I mean, nobody. Have you ever visited somebody in jail? And I was in the Twin Towers. We took somebody to jail, and we just got through booking them, and we were walking through. And all of a sudden, we heard somebody hitting the glass, bang, bang, bang. And I told my partner, I said, hey, somebody over there, you know, wants to get back at you. He's pounding on the glass. And the guy said, yeah, you better get out of here quick. So they opened the door and this guy came running out. And he came straight for me and he came and he gave me a big hug. And he said, Pastor, remember me? I don't remember you. You're in jail. And he says, I was a pathfinder. And thank you for being a leader. But I guess my influence on him was not as great as it should be. But you know what? God puts you in a certain place so that you can be an example for him. So Matthew 7:20 tells us, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits ye shall know them. The last text that I gave, the last text is found in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John way in the back. Just before Revelation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, in fact. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh of God, and every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. In other words, it's saying when a person claims that Jesus Christ is their personal Savior, when Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, and he was resurrected for our sake, then you know it's truly from God. So I gave him these four texts. And I said, all I can do is I can encourage you to use these four texts and look at the four texts and put it against the individual and see if it is truly from God or not. And they left my office without making a decision. I didn't give them my opinion. They came back 2 weeks later and they said, Pastor, guess what? I said, what? They said, we did not take our daughter to see this faith healer because they did not pass the test, or she did not pass the test. And this man looked at me and says, we're going to wait until Jesus comes again. So when Jesus comes, we're going to take our daughter to Jesus, and Jesus will heal my daughter. Wasn't it great? So today, when we're challenged in the future of all the things, we have these four texts that we can say truly, we can apply this text to the individual to see if it's truly from God or from the devil. So may God give us the grace and the power to do and to make the right decision. Loving Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have of studying Scripture. We pray that we may study the Scripture, that it may become a shield to us before the devil, that we can truly say that God has led us in the right direction. So help us to study the Word of God daily, that we can become truly a warrior for you, that we may not make mistakes. So fill us now with your Spirit and give us the strength is our prayer in your precious and loving name. Amen.